Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Most entrepreneurs, they're trying to figure out why they aren't successful, and they don't understand. It's like you're like a travel agent. You're always trying to send somebody somewhere you've never been. Because right now, if you work in your job, if you're around people that it's not talking about business and success and winning and making millions of dollars, then you are a product of your environment. You're going to keep working a job. You're going to keep having nothing conversations. You're going to continue to go to the club and live for the weekends. That's your life. Mm-hmm. You have to say, all right, let me snap out of this. Let me snap out of the matrix. I got to figure this thing out. I understand the concept of life is like a two-sided coin. It's either working for you or it's working on you.
Mm, okay.
So I was in a place where life was just working on me before it would eventually start working for me, which is the season that I'm in now. But life was working on me and God was testing me, trying to figure out, hey, do you really want this thing called entrepreneurship? Do you really want ultimate success?
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for a dollar a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, philanthropist, public speaker, mentor, coach, entrepreneur, investor, and business credit expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Dominate the Decade, a mentorship group responsible for creating multiple 6-to-7-figure earners in the credit and consulting space. This man is also responsible for helping hundreds of thousands repair, rebuild, and restore their personal credit report using software he's created that's made building good credit easier than it's ever been before. Whether he's hosting weekly webinars in front of thousands on how to access well over 6 figures in funding or speaking on stage teaching frameworks that have helped him make well over 8 figures and counting, his mission to educate on credit mastery and empower our people is proof that his success in this space is not coincidence, it's confirmation. Mm. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Chicago, Illinois, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Dion Coopwood. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm all good. That intro was amazing.
Hey, man, I gotta roll out the red carpet for royalty.
Hey, no, that's amazing, man. And here's the truth about it. You didn't miss nothing.
Yeah.
Everything you said was spot on. Everything you said was on point. And I love the fact that you said it was confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
My guy. Welcome back, a TMFS alum. Very excited to have you on. First and foremost, before we get into anything and everything, how are you, brother?
I'm great. Just going through a nice little transition in life. God has really been good to me. He's been blessing me. I'm in the process of building me and my wife's dream home for our family.
Congratulations. Let's go.
And so it's fun. It's exciting. It's a lot going on because we have to sell a house and now building a new house. And so I'm excited about, you know, being able to get into our new house towards the end of the year and going to the new year with a new home.
I love it. Let's go, man. I'm very, very happy to hear. Listen, you are one of them ones, one of those individuals where I can't bring you on for people not to bang down my doors in my DM saying, we need a part two, we need a part three, we need a part four. At this point, I'm going to call it the Dion Coopwood show. It's becoming that kind of situation, man. But once again, that's just a testament to the value you provide, the impact that you've had, and just who you are as an individual. So I always love bringing you back on. We always have riveting conversations on and off the camera.
Yeah.
We're going to have one today. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to. But before we do that, there are some people, unfortunately, who aren't familiar. Let's get them familiar. For those who don't know, who exactly is Mr. Dion Coopwood?
Shout out to my Chi-Town people. Okay. From the south side of Chicago, born and raised. Lived there for 30 plus years, man. I've seen a lot, been through a lot. I am one of those situations where I didn't allow my current situation to be my final destination. Mm. When I tell you Chicago is rough, it's rough, you know, and, growing up there, you have to grow up with some tough skin. You have to be able to, weather the storm and, God just kept me through. And, what I did was the last few years, I ended up moving my family out of Chicago. We moved to the eastern part of Georgia, where we currently reside now. And, man, it has been a blessing, but over the years, been through a lot, man. I had one job out of college, where in college, before I graduated, I played basketball. And when I graduated, man, I had one job, man, one job at Sprint. I was selling phones. Mm. And one thing that happened at my job that I didn't realize until it was like later on in my career is that my job noticed something that I didn't notice, which was I was a very unique and special individual. Mm. 8 months on my job, they made me a store manager. And I was a kid at the time coming out of college. And the reason being is because I remember when my store manager told me, she said, every time you work, everybody be excited. She said it. And when you come to work, everybody come to ask you questions. She said, you are leading the store. You running the store. She said, and I don't really frankly got to be here. And I was like, man, that's crazy. And so I looked up and I took a ride with her to another store. I thought it was just going to be conversation. Come to find out when we got back to the store, she said, just so you know, when we walk back in the store, you are store manager.
There you go.
And that was kind of how, you know, what you guys see today started, because I was given responsibility within my career at an early age. And I held on to that, and I took that responsibility and I ran with it. And it's like, when you think about what does it take to really be a successful entrepreneur, I think that you have to be a good employer first. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to come to work on time. Like, I never was late for work ever. I never, ever, ever. I'm not that guy. I was never late for work. I was number one in every single category. I display leadership skills and qualities like none other. And so I wasn't the person that went, I hate my job. I love my job. And I thought I was going to retire at Sprint. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's what got me here. So when you think about what does it mean to be a really good entrepreneur? Like me and you were talking before the podcast, if you go back and you look at somebody's track record, success has receipts.
Yeah.
And you can go back and you can look and you can see me working at Sprint. You can see me selling life insurance, doing everything that I did up until this point that we are today.
I love it. Let's dive deeper into that journey. Let's go back specifically to 2009, if I remember correctly, May, about a year removed and some change from college.
Yep.
That was around the time when you started working at Sprint.
Yep.
You know, for people who are watching right now, there's a light show going on your neck right now. Obviously, Sprint was not the one that bought that chain for you.
Sprint
did not buy that chain. So obviously, there's a lot of steps that happened from there up until now. How exactly did you go from, you know, being one of the top sales reps, being a store manager at Sprint, to where you are now? When we talk about the credit space, when we talk Metro 2, we talk funding, your name is top three, top two, if anything, that always comes up.
It's definitely top two and it's not two.
Come on now. Listen, let's talk about it.
I'm making sure we're on the same page.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it. So what was that journey to get to this point? Because I know it wasn't an easy one.
You know what's crazy? Before I got that job in 2009, I was actually a tribal barber.
Wow. Okay.
And I was selling clothes. So when I graduated college, up until I really got that job, that's what I was doing in between time. Because I graduated in 2008 when it was like a bubble. The financial market was terrible. The real estate market was trash. Nobody was hiring.
Right.
And so I couldn't get a job. So I was doing two entrepreneurial type journeys at the same time in order to make money, put food on the table. Because when I graduated in May, my daughter, my first child, was born that July. So I graduated college in May, June, July. I got 2 months and I'm a dad. So I had to put food on the table, I had to buy Pampers. I had to do what I had to do. And then I ended up landing that job at Sprint, May 11, 2009. You got it on point. And man, I worked there for 7-8 years, did my thing, number one in every single category. I left my job, man, after doing very well there in 2016, mm-hmm. Which is when I went full-time entrepreneurship, left my job. And when I left my job in 2016, which is what landed me here, is I left my job with $40,000 in credit.
Okay.
My mindset was if another individual, or at that time, the average American is making $40,000 a year, and that's what they live off of, why can't I do with my credit? Mm-hmm. So I paid my mortgage with my credit, paid my car notes with my credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put food on the table with my credit cards. Mm-hmm. I even paid child support with my credit cards.
Wow.
Just being honest with you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I went through to get, you know, to where we at today. But then it's like, when you dig deep into the journey, in 2006, the first thing that I did out the gate was I was selling life insurance and doing retirement planning. Mm. So I was cold calling. I was knocking on doors. People wasn't answering doors. People wasn't answering the phone. I was going to my family trying to say they wanted to buy life insurance and need help with retirement plan. They kept telling me no. Everybody was telling me no. Everybody mm-hmm. was saying no. And so I built up a crazy tolerance that if I could continue to accept these no's, eventually I'll get a yes. Mm-hmm. And so that was 3 years. So I did, life insurance and retirement plan and selling for 3 years. I transitioned because I started asking God for something different because I was kind of just getting burnt out. Mm-hmm. I got up to like a couple $100,000 a year. So it wasn't bad income, $20,000 plus per month. But then I started my own solar renewable energy company. Mm. Which is what my Instagram name is, which is Phenomenal Power.
Yeah.
Remember, we talking about success has receipts. Mm-hmm. So this stuff, everything correlates. So I started Phenomenal Power, which was, what was that? So 2016, right about 19, 20 years, right during the pandemic.
Right.
So I remember during the pandemic, I remember getting citations and stuff because we were door knocking, wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you can't do this. It's the pandemic. It's the COVID out here. Like, you got to go in the house. Take you and your team go in the house.
Yeah.
And so we were getting fines. I was getting citations from different cities because we were knocking doors again, trying to sell people solar. Did good at that. Did pretty decent at that. Continued to brush through the nose. Made some M's doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, just not really unfamiliar with making money. But here's what I will say. When I was transitioning out of solar, and I'll tell you why I was transitioned out of solar, and the reason why is because solar was new to the Midwest, mm-hmm. so people didn't understand it.
Right.
And then there was a transition where, during the cold season, like snow, people wasn't fun to put no panels on their house, and we couldn't work anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then there was a time where it was kind of like a drought. And so when we realized that solar wasn't going to work for the Midwest, and then we were going through that cold season, I ain't had no money. Mm. So, in all transparency, I took out a loan to start paying my mortgage and pay my bills and take care of my family. So here I am now again. I'm thinking I'm doing good. I'm up. Entrepreneurship is finally working, but it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it wasn't working. I understand the concept of life is like a two-sided coin. It's either working for you or it's working on you.
Mm, okay.
So I was in a place where life was just working on me before it would eventually start working for me, which is the season that I'm in now. But life was working on me and God was testing me, trying to figure out, hey, do you really want this thing called entrepreneurship? Do you really want ultimate success? And so nobody knows that. Not a lot of people know that in 2021, I took out a loan to, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's at the top of 2021, I took out a loan to pay my employees that were working for me at the time. And I took out that loan to start paying my mortgage. And I told my wife, we can't take another trip. We can't buy no fancy clothes. We can't do nothing. It's over with. Mm-hmm. Until I figure out what am I going to do and what direction I'm going to go in. And so this is how I got into financial literacy and credit, because when people were looking to go solar, they had to have a 650 credit score.
Yeah.
And it was a no money down program where if you had a 650, you qualified, they gave you a loan, they put the panels in your house, and you just paid the panels off, and you didn't have to pay your electric bill, right? Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening was I said, well, we got like 70% of our list ain't qualifying because of bad credit. Let's start repairing their credit in order to make sure they qualify so we can get the solar money. Mm-hmm. So in doing that, we started repairing people's credit. I started a credit repair company at that time called Precise Credit. And in doing that, I'm like, wait a minute, why is all these people calling me? So I'm chasing people for solar, but then people chasing me for credit. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, you know what? While I'm transitioning, since solar ain't working, I might as well transition right into financial literacy and right back into financial literacy because I was already doing it with life insurance planning.
Right.
And I might as well just go into the credit space. And that's what ended up taking out for me. And so people would say, I need my credit fix. So we go from taking out a loan to $40,000, $50,000 a month, man.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, because I'm saying this and I'm telling this and I'm going deep because it's somebody probably watching this that's ready to quit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, I could have quit, but then I would have been right back at a job. Mm-hmm. And I would have never gotten to the point that I'm at now. I would have never gotten here. And so everything is connected. Like it's not that I just decided that credit was cool or it was something cool that I should get into, or it's a lot of money in that space, or I was doing solar sales with my own company, and we started repairing credit within inside the company as an alternative to get these people to go solar. But then solar wasn't working. Solar wasn't soloring for us. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
And it was really because where we were at, we were geographically in the Midwest, and it just wasn't something that was understood. Right. It wasn't popular. It wasn't heard of. We don't get as much sun as the West Coast. So it just wasn't a part of the deal.
Yeah.
And so with being able to let that go, we just transitioned into credit repair. And here's what's crazy. Nobody in my company wanted to transition with me. So now I'm a Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like me and a few people that I could really depend on. We doing credit repair, man. We like actually doing credit repair. And so that's how I got into financial literacy from a credit repair niche perspective, because that's that journey. That's what it looks like.
Mm.
That's what it looks like. That's how I got to the point to where we at now.
Come on now. And from where you, from that point up until on, not only have you been able to, I mean, I talked about some of the milestones you've hit, but Deon Cooper, you're a man of the people. I don't know if I can go open my phone to go on your page and not see another testimonial and not see another person ranting and raving about how you've helped them make their first 10,000, 100,000, their first million and beyond.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that, because, you know, show me how great a man is, not by what he's done, but by the people that he's helped get in position to do more or the same.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the success that not only you've been able to have, but also your mentees have been able to have as well. Because, man, it's been crazy.
Yeah. Just to sum it up before I go into detail, I think it's more so about understanding that it's hard work and not hard work.
Mm.
Like, I do what I do from the heart. It is not hard for me to do. I don't wake up every day and be like, dang, I got to coach this person. Dang, I got to. No, it's not that. It's actually quite easy. And the reason why is because I'm teaching from experience. When I got into deciding that I was going to drop solo and I was going to go full-fledged into credit in that niche, I researched. Mm. I dug. I set up to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning figuring out which bank, which lender. Like, I was actually doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started doing the work and I started to realize, okay, cool, now I need to start marketing my business. I need to start advertising. When I started putting together all of these pieces and I was doing trial and error, okay, that don't work. I lost money with that. I'll never do that again. But this right here worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I doubled down on what's working and I'm going to do it again. I kept doing it and it started working for me. I said, I'm at the point where I can do something that actually I can teach somebody else. Like, it's crazy. Like, most entrepreneurs, they're trying to figure out why they're unsuccessful, and they don't understand. It's like, you're like a travel agent. You're always trying to send somebody somewhere you've never been. You know what I mean?
Say that again.
like that's the truth. Most entrepreneurs are like travel agents. They're trying to send people places that they've never been.
Mm.
Bro, I'm sending people. The reason why you see a testimony, the reason why you see people successful is because I am telling them, this is what I did, and if you do the same thing, you can be successful too.
Yeah.
It's tried and it's proven that it works. Like, I did it. So if it could work for me, it should work for you. This is why a coach and a mentor is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say, I know where you at. I know where you're looking to go. If you take this route right here, you're going to get to your destination. That's how it works. And so when you see the testimonies of first 10,000, first half a million, first million, somebody doing their first $100,000 a month, $100,000 a week, $100,000 a day, it's because I'm saying, okay, look, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to market the business. Here's how we're going to advertise. Here's how much money you're going to spend. Here's how much money you're not going to spend. This is where you're going to go. This is where you're not going to go. This is what we're going to do, because I know what's going to work for you and your niche. And it's not just financial literacy. It's not just credit. It's in any industry. Like, my mentees, I got mentees that are nurses. They're doing Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are doing life insurance. Some are doing party planning. Some of them are doing party promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about, it don't even matter the niche. Some doing in the delivery business, you know what I mean? The transportation business.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you do. It's based upon my experience and me having success, I'm able to teach it. And so I love what I'm doing. I'm loving. And the reality is, again, this is something that God put on me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in my driveway, taking out a loan to pay my mortgage and sitting in my driveway with tears in my eyes, trying to figure out why am I not successful yet. I just felt like I wasn't successful, and I was having a conversation with God. And he was like, you know, the reality is you need to have a little bit more grace with yourself. He was like, and you need to be a little bit more thankful. He said, because you are a millionaire. I was like, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, if you look, he said, look at the last 10 years. He said, have you not made over $100,000 plus every single year? I don't care. He said, I know what you're going through. I know what test I'm giving you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but this test that I'm giving you is part of your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so I know where you at right now. He said, but have you not, or have you made $100,000 or more the last 10 years? So I had to look back and I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes and my jaw. I was like, yes, I have. He said, well, then you can't complain, my son, because you have dominated the decade. That's what my mentorship group comes from.
Crazy.
That's the name of my mentorship group, bro. I'm trying to figure it out this whole time. And he said, you need to start teaching people how to be like you and do what you do. He said, go be and do. And I was like, man. And at the time, I was thinking about coaching and mentoring, and that was my confirmation. It wasn't a coincidence that I was sitting there and I was having a conversation. Like I told you, this was my confirmation. And I took that name. I said, Dominate the Decade Mentorship Group. And I ran with it. And ever since then, people have been ultra successful. We're talking about somebody has got over 17,000 mentees now. And not in the last 10 years. I've been in this digital game and in this digital space coaching people since 2021. Mm-hmm. We're talking about in the last 3 years. Who has 17,000 plus mentees in the last 3 years? That means that what I'm doing has to work.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people say, well, his program is trash. It doesn't work. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So when they come and they do the research, it's like somebody that's saying this movie was real good. And you go sit yourself and you say, man, that movie was good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. I want to piggyback off of that. Is it okay with you? I want to read a quote that mm-hmm. you actually shared earlier this year that ties perfectly into something you just said.
Mm-hmm.
These are your words. Let me know if you remember this. So you said, you want it to be easy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I graduated college in 2008, got a job at Sprint in 2009, became a manager in 8 months because I was the top sales rep every month, was the top store manager, but in 2016, we parted ways and I vowed to never work a job ever again because I knew there was a bigger calling in my life. I still didn't win right away. First 6 months of entrepreneurship selling life insurance, I failed and made $0.
Mm-hmm.
Then within 4 months, I made $110,000 from the 6 months of work that I thought wasn't working. Then insurance ran its course. I sold solar and made millions. Then the pandemic came and that no longer was an option, which led me to credit full time. 16 years later, and here we are now from the work. Keep going. I bring that up because you talked about, in that quote, you talked about a season where either life's working on you or it's working for you. Right now, you're reaping the fruit of seeds that you planted from years prior to. There are a lot of entrepreneurs watching this episode right now, and they're exactly where 2016 Dion was. And they're doing work that they may not think is working, but in actuality, they don't even know they're planting seeds for 2025,
yep.
2026, 2027. What's that mindset shift that has to happen for those individuals to understand that even though I may not see it today, let me just put my head down and keep working because I understand that it may not come this year, it may not even come next year, but it's coming. I just have to stay true to the work and keep working.
Yeah. I'll be transparent with you. I'm doing my best.
It's all right. We here. Take your time, brother. People don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just, I apologize, bro.
You good, bro? You good.
It's not easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have vision. You gotta have faith. You know, my mom raised me in the church, and this is stuff that has been instilled for me since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being raised in a single parent home and not knowing your father like that and not having a relationship with him and not having somebody that you can really depend on, it's not the easiest. I had to grow up fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, you know, I always tell people you got to grow through what you go through. And time will either grow you or it's going to expose you. And so people have to understand that. And while you're going through these tests, you have to stay confident. You have to stay strong. But more importantly, you have to have faith. You have to have vision. And you have to understand that faith and fear can't coexist. Mm. You don't get to have both. That's not what success is. That's not what the journey is about. You either going to have faith or you're going to have fear. And so my suggestion to everybody is do like I did every single time that I was tested by the devil. Every single time that God put something in front of me that I was questioning, well, is God real? Like, what are you doing to me? I'm confused on what's going on with my journey. What I would say is override that fear and activate your faith. That's for me. I don't know no other way to give it to the people. Because when people ask me now about, did you ever see yourself being here? Did you ever imagine that you would make the money that you make and have the success that you would have? The answer to that question is why wouldn't I? Absolutely, I did. I've been waiting on this moment. Mm-hmm. I put in all of the work that I needed to put in order to get where I'm at. Mm-hmm. My question is can you see yourself being here? That's the real question.
Yeah.
So for me, it's almost like being here is everything that I worked for. It's everything that I worked for. And that's why I tell you, that's why I said it got me emotional, because I remember being raised in Chicago in a house that was 900 square feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Three bedrooms, one bathroom. We got to all share a bathroom. Parents, kids, you know what I mean? I'm talking about my brothers and sisters, three siblings sleeping in bunk beds in one bedroom, bro. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm the oldest and I need some privacy, I had my own bedroom. Then my mom would have boyfriends and stuff, and they would have their own room. Mm-hmm. But that was as big as the house got. I remember making pork and beans and hot dogs for my little brothers and sisters, and you know what I mean? Eating cereal at night and not having dinner and stuff like that. Not that my mama, she just was working two jobs and trying to make ends meet, doing what she had to do because she got a family to take care of. And so now, my mama not having to work now, and I'm giving her an unlimited American Express, that's life. That's where we at now. But, you know, again, back to your statement, life is either going to work on you or it's going to work for you. And you have to be able to recognize what season you're in your life. So if it's working on you, it's working on you until you get past that point to where it starts to work for you. And you become the person that God wants you to be, so that way you can walk in your purpose, on purpose, with purpose. And that's the season I'm in. I'm walking in my purpose.
Hmm. This is getting heavy. This is getting very, very heavy. Why do you think, we talked about the years and the work, because, you know, we joked about it, you know, off camera and even on camera, the chains and stuff like that. But and just a lot of the success you've been able to have, but people see that and they think it's like a snap of the finger and it's just like it happens that way. And it's not even just for you, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's such a large misconception about what it actually takes to win in business and then also in life? For me, I'm kind of looking at it from the outside looking in. I know social media is a great tool for us to help people, but then it's also a thing of like, yo, you know, you have somebody that's taken two or three posts on the gram and it's like, oh, that's it? Okay, I'm about to make my first eight figures tomorrow. You've been on both sides of the coin. You talked about your upbringing and where you are now, being able to provide and support for not only individuals that are in your mentorship, but then also family and friends as well. Where is this misconception coming from that a lot of people have about what it actually takes to become successful?
38%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is, the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As an entrepreneur, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get you funding that your business needs.
Everybody Instagram don't look like mine. Because the only thing we know is social media. None of us really know each other.
Yeah.
Unless you get on the phone with somebody, you talk to somebody, or you go into their house and you having dinner with them, or whatever the case may be, or you hanging out with them, you don't know a person. So the only thing you know is what you can see on social media. And the only thing we do is we put up the highlight reels. It's like Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all that stuff is like watching the top 10 on ESPN at night. Mm. It's the highlight reel. No married couple is going to put up there when the husband and wife is arguing and then they're at their worst and they're at their lowest point. They're going to say, hey, me and my husband had an argument today. Me and my husband got into it today, but we're going to stick this thing out. And we had a conversation that went like ABC, XYZ. No, they're not going to post that. They're going to only post when they're out to dinner and they've spent $200 on a meal and talking about how their business made $5,000 today and they snap pictures of them looking in a fancy suit. That's what they're going to post. It's the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Whereas with me, you can go on my Instagram. You can go back to when I didn't have veneers. Mm-hmm. You can go back to when I didn't have a chain. You can go back to when I didn't wear designer clothes for the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go back and see all of that. You can go back and see when I was door knocking for solar. I was making posts saying, hey, just left a client house, just signed somebody up. They got a $500,000 policy. It's only $50 a month. Hit me in the DM or click the link in my bio to schedule a consultation. You can see all of that. So there's a misconception, because the only thing that you can see on somebody's social media is the success. You can't see none of the failures. Like, let's just say if I wanted the coach that was in, let's just say Airbnb, and I went on his page or her page, and all I seen was the money that they were making. I'm like, yo, mm-hmm. I'm going to get into Airbnb because they making money over here. They ain't talking about how somebody broke the furniture in the TV, and they really didn't. They put that $900 invoice for one night, but then their TV was broken, so they had to go spend another $850, and they really didn't make no money. They ain't posting that.
Right.
So that's the problem when people look at social media, and there's a misconception from a society standpoint. They want instant gratification. They want it right now. They want it right now because they see everybody else has it right now, but nobody else is talking about what they really went through. They're not telling the journey. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I love coming on podcasts. I'll come on here and I'll tell the actual truth, and I'll give people the real me. And what ends up happening is I attract my tribe. So I'm going to attract the people that want to do business with me, that want me to coach and want leadership and mentorship from me, because I'm telling the truth. But that's why people always say, well, how can I, Dion, you told me to get a coach or get a mentor. How can I decipher whether who's real and who's fake? Like, what direction should I go in? I'm confused. I don't know who to pick. Man, success and failure leaves clues, and success has receipts. Go scroll through. Ask questions. Don't just give somebody your $5,000 and say, man, I paid dude $5,000 and he scammed me out of my money. Man, y'all all scammers. No. Take some accountability now, please. Mm-hmm. Did you do your own R&D, research and development? Did you go through somebody's page? Did you Google that person's name? Did you ask the people that they may be in pictures with, like, hey, what's going on with John? Is he a good guy? Is he really going to follow through? Wait, like, what's going on? Should I pay him this money? You need to ask questions. Because if not, then you scammed yourself.
Yeah.
So don't get mad at John, because John took your money probably with good intentions. Mm-hmm. He took the money and said, you know what, dang, I'm gonna really try to help this person. But then what ended up happening was he stepped into muddy territories that he probably wasn't expecting. He couldn't deliver because he don't have the track record of success. He's never been in that position to get himself out of that. So now he can't deliver on the promises that he kept, that he thought that he was gonna keep with good intentions. And now you're saying he scammed you. No, you just didn't do enough research. So actually, you scammed yourself.
Yeah.
Out of a great opportunity, out of finding a good coach that can actually lead you from currently where you are to where you're looking to go.
You and I talked off camera about a large misconception, because we get on and we do these podcasts and we provide a lot of just free game and tactical information. But there's so many people that they're on their 18th podcast episode and they're like, man, I'm one gem away from mm-hmm. making my first 6 to 7 figures. I'm one business funding hack away from making my first 6 to 7 figures. Yeah. And you and I were joking, yeah. And it's just like, that is so far removed from the truth.
Yeah.
What does it, what, if I'm watching this,
yeah,
I'm at a glass ceiling. I mean, I'm working my job from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I haven't even made my first $5,000 and I'm working from 5 to 9. Something is not clicking. What are the actionable steps that I need to take to start getting myself in the right direction? Because I want more. I have family and I have friends I'm supposed to be taking care of. Mm-hmm. I have this vision and this dream for my life that I want, but I've been in the same spot for the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and nothing has changed. So clearly something is wrong. Something has to change.
Yeah.
What does that process need to look like?
First thing we got to realize is if nothing is changing, that's because nothing is changing. That means that you have to evaluate you as an individual and your current situation and figure out what you need to change in order for things to start changing. And I'll tell anybody this. I think that the most powerful thing that we can have as a people that we don't always leverage, whether it be for an opportunity or to take advantage of getting some more income, to take advantage of opportunity, which is our credit. And I say that because I think that the number one thing everybody should be seeking to do is getting some direction. Like, when you think about life, we've had to go to grammar school, which is what, let's just call them teachers, right? We got teachers in grammar school. Well, in all actuality, outside of our parents, those are our sub coaches.
Yeah.
They taught us how to sit down and how to get in a single file line and how to raise our hand and how to do all of these things. Those were like mini coaches of life. Then you get to high school, you got other mini coaches because you got teachers. Then if you even if we just scale and we just amplify this thing all the way up to, let's just say, professional athletes. If we name some GOATs, we got Michael Jordan, we got Kobe Bryant, we got LeBron James, we got all of these different GOATs, Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
All of these people in common, they have a coach. And they don't win a championship at all without a coach.
Yeah.
Running plays and calling plays and having what's called teammates to play with in order to win that championship as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying, and all of that saying that, is that a person needs a coach and you need an environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get a coach, so what I'm saying is the first step you need to do is you need to make sure your personal credit is in order.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have, because right now we don't have a business and we ain't making no business income. So we need to leverage our personal credit. We need to make sure that's in order. Mm-hmm. So that way we can go and get a line of credit from the bank and we can pay a mentor or coach that is successful, mm-hmm. that we see a track record from. And we say, hey, listen, how can I be successful in this industry or in this area? And what's going to happen is that coach is going to do two things for you. They're going to give you the answers to what's called the test of life and business to go be successful. Mm-hmm. That's your coach. That's your Phil Jackson. And then what they're going to do is they're going to put you in an environment of other winners,
mm-hmm.
that you can collaborate with, that you can work with. You're going to now your teammates with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Now your teammates with Michael Jordan. And these are people that have been winning for years as well. So you got a winning coach and you got a winning environment. Guess what? Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
So now that you are in a winning environment, you got a winning coach. It's only a matter of time before you start winning your damn self.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law.
Yeah,
it's a law, man. You're going to start winning. That's the way life works. Because right now, if you work in your job, if you're around people that is not talking about business and success and winning and making millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
then you are a product of your environment. You're going to keep working a job. You're going to keep having nothing conversations. You're going to continue to go to the club and live for the weekends. That's your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, all right, let me snap out of this. Let me snap out of the matrix. I got to figure this thing out. Okay, cool. What's the first thing I do? Okay, make sure my credit is in order, because that's essential to life. If you got bad credit, 9 out of 10, you ain't got no money. That's just the truth.
Facts.
So, but if I got good credit, I go to the bank and I say, hey, look, let me get a $30,000 line of credit. I'm about to pay this guy half of it to coach me. I'm going to take the other half and put it into marketing advertising. That's where you start at, because that environment and that coach is what you need in order to get started. You're failing because you're trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to YouTube yourself to death. You're trying to Google yourself to death. Well, guess what? If YouTube and Google was making people rich, we would have more millionaires and more rich people.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. And think about it. I ain't never met nobody who did what society said do.
Mm-hmm.
They said, go to school, graduate, get a good job, unless you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are the people that are millionaires working jobs?
Mm-hmm.
You ever met a anybody in your family that worked?
Not that I know of.
Not me neither. So I'm trying to figure out, again, when we look at these entrepreneurs, we look at these coaches, we say, y'all scammers. Well, no. No. Don't you do that.
Right.
No. That school system and society and the choices and decisions that you make is the real scam.
Mm.
Because you grown and you don't have money. That is a scam in itself.
Yeah.
You still confused about money. You don't know how money works. That's why you don't have any. So you need to get around people and a person who understands how money works, who can teach you how to navigate through life. And having a coach and having a mentor, that's a shortcut to success.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that will be the first thing that a person needs to do. Anything else other than that is uncivilized.
You talked about, you know, you used the analogy of basketball and talking about teammates. And we mm-hmm. talk about power, proximity, and having the right people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You are someone that made a move that most entrepreneurs who are new to space wouldn't make. You left your hometown.
Yep.
To come to Atlanta.
Yep.
And we've talked off camera about how that was really the next step that really helped you reach heights in your business that you just weren't able to reach in Chicago.
100%.
Talk a little bit about that, because for a lot of those people, depending on where you grew up at, you probably aren't surrounded by other millionaires or high six-figure earners. Otherwise, you would probably already be there.
Yep.
But they don't want to take that step.
Yep.
Or they're kind of fit. They're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's like, but what if I leave and this happens? What if I leave and it happens? You've been on that side of the coin before. So 100%. You know what that process looks like. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
So you said something, which is, what if I leave and this happens? Or what if I leave and that happens? Well, more people are on the spectrum of a negative mindset where they say, well, what if I leave and it doesn't work? That's like 99% of the people. That's why they call us 1%ers, right?
Yeah.
Because we think like majority of people won't think. We're that 1% that says, if I leave, I think that this is going to work. And that was my thought process. I said, if I can get out of Chicago and I can plant myself into a new environment, that's going to help me grow. That's what happened. And April of 2022, I moved to Atlanta. 7 months later, I made over $1 million.
Come on now.
I was in Chicago 30 plus years. There was nothing in, there was no environments in Chicago. I never had a conversation with a millionaire in Chicago. There was no environments in Chicago that I could have planted myself in where I would have been able to catapult myself and had a sec. The minute that I got to Atlanta, I ended up in a group chat. And everybody in there, now here's what I'll say. It was only a couple people in there that was making memes at the time. Mm-hmm. But just by those couple people in that group chat making memes, that group of us, which was 14 people, the other 12 of us was like, yo, if they can do it, we can do it. So we held each other accountable. Like 2-3 times a week, we checking in that chat. Hey, yo, I just made this. What you make? What y'all make? We posting income. I got accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm being held accountable. I don't have a choice but to win.
Yeah.
Like, I remember vividly one of my probably 2-3 weeks I'm out in this group chat. I'm finna lay down. It's Sunday. About 10 o'clock at night. I ain't gonna say the person. I don't want to expose him. He goes in the group chat. He posts a screenshot of his Stripe account, and he had made $238,000 in 2 hours that Sunday.
Say that again.
$238,000 in 2 hours on a Sunday. Now here I am about to lay down.
It's time to get up.
I had to get up. My wife was like, "What you doing?" I said, "No, you can go to sleep. You go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen nothing like that in my life, but it did something good for me. Now, most of the time, when I post on Instagram and I post like money that I've spent or money that I've made, I'm not doing that to brag or boast at all. I am doing that to show people what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to see that screenshot of what was possible.
Yeah.
So that I can go achieve that. I can go and do. I'm like, yo, I ain't never seen nobody make 200 some thousand in 2 hours. I said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy. And I said, hey, bro, I don't know what you do. I don't know what kind of witchcraft you do. I'm coming to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You text me an address. I am sitting at your feet tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna figure this thing out.
I gotta figure this out. I'm talking about, man, less than 6 months later, on a Sunday, I made $118,000 on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. 2 hours. I said, oh yeah, we figuring this thing out. You need to make changes. Like, if I didn't move to Atlanta and I didn't put myself in that environment, I would have met none of these people and been around those people, been able to pull up and have those conversations that took my mindset to a whole nother level, that allowed my eyes to see if you can see it, you can seize it.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes were able to see something and I was like, I can have that. That's what I want. I want that. I want that right there. And then, cause I'm like, not only am I looking at the money, but I'm like, I'm wondering what kind of impact is coming behind it. How many people decided to believe in themselves to purchase whatever product you were offering and that you get to impact? How many lives do this person get to change? I said, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. So my heart was in it to help as many people as I could. And what ended up coming behind it was the financial success.
The flip side to that, though, is while there is power in proximity, it could also, if you don't have the right perspective and if you don't have the right mindset, it can also hold you back as well. And here's what I mean by that. You may have someone that'll look at you and say, okay, if he's making this much money,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay him a fraction of that to help me get there faster.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may have someone else on the flip side who may have a sense of entitlement that may see that you're making X amount of money or see the story you shared to your friend and be like, Well, why is he making it? I should be making that kind of money, or I should be doing this. What's the difference between the two? Like, what happened along the way? What's happened along the way to where you have one person that's motivated by that kind of success? You laughing already. And yeah. I, because you know, you from Chicago, from Canarsie, like, we come from areas and backgrounds where it's just like, you understand? So what happened along the way to where you had one person that was motivated by that sense of success, where you had someone else that became that, found a sense of envy, a sense of entitlement, a sense of I should be there and not you.
What's crazy is throughout my years and throughout my journey, I've experienced only the people that knew me or know me and was close to me or are close to me are the ones that are jealous and envious. Mm. Because they say, him? Well, like you said, like, why him and not me, God? They question yeah. that. Because they got us boxed in and they never saw us reach success like that. Whereas on the flip side of that, like you said, the people that never knew me and never had any feelings towards me or don't know how to feel towards me, because they just saw me, they found me, they're motivated by what I'm doing. And they say, ooh, I want to do what that guy is doing. But the people that know me, there's a sense of jealousy and enviness, because they say, well, dang, I was supposed to be successful like that. Mm-hmm. I was right next to this guy. Mm-hmm. How did it happen for him and not me?
Yep.
But yet they looking past all of the sacrificial efforts that a person has to make along the way in order for that to happen for them and not you. Mm-hmm. So again, you can't, don't look at the person and their success. Look at you and why you're not successful. It's almost kind of like the mindset thing. Like, don't look at a situation or a person and say, well, why is it not? Why is it them and not me? Why don't you say, what is it that I need to do in order for it to be me? Mm-hmm. Change the thought process. Mm-hmm. Change the outlook, and you would change the outcome. Mm-hmm. That's what it's really all about. But that's where that twist between, is this going to motivate and inspire me, or is it going to make me jealous and envious come from? Like, that's what it's about. And I saw that earlier on in my career, entrepreneurship, where when I was door knocking and cold calling for life insurance, I couldn't get none of my friends and family to buy life insurance from me, because they had me in a box of, this is the guy who works at T-Mobile and Sprint. He sell us phones.
Yeah.
That's Dion who sell phones. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he talk about no life insurance. He ain't no life insurance expert. Mm-hmm. When they don't even know that I went and I studied for an exam and I passed an exam and I am an actual professional at this. And I would go to their house, and I would have on my polo, my tie, my name badge. Mm-hmm. They would say, bro, why are you coming to my house dressed like that? Don't we got an appointment to talk about life insurance? Mm-hmm. Why would I not? Would you want me to come in my do-rag and my, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But then I would go to somebody's house who don't know me, and I walk in with the same outfit. They would look at me like I'm Jake from State Farm. I'm like, okay, he had to handle business.
Right.
Okay, well, let me know. Like, what are we, like, give me the details. I'm signing up. Mm-hmm. I had to pull teeth like a dentist to try to get my family to sign up. But then yet people who didn't know me, it was easy. It was easy breezy.
I remember one time I was getting a haircut in my neighborhood, in my old neighborhood. And we was talking, me and this dude's like 40 something years old. And he was just like, hey, you have kids yet? And I was just like, you know, nah, I'm 26. I don't think I want to like explore having kids until I make my first million. Mm-hmm. And he stopped cutting my hair. He was like, your first million? And then he just went on like a rant.
Yep.
And he was kind of just like, who do you know, like, from Canarsie that's made $1 million? Like, he was like, I'm not trying to say that you're not going to make a million, but I'm just saying, I've he's like, I've never seen it. I don't know anybody. Do you know somebody? He was like, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
I would, like, crazy. Reconsider that. You understand?
See?
I moved to a new neighborhood. I'm not going to say where now. Different barber. Like, this is, like, months separated. We was just having a conversation. I was having a conversation with my barber. One thing my new barber does now, every time he cuts somebody, he'll be like, what's going on, millionaire? How you doing, doctor? How you doing, teacher? And I pulled him to the side one day. I'm like, why is it that you always give these people these titles, like, before you sit down, you cut their hair? And he's just like, I want to speak life into people. Mm. Like, you may become a billionaire tomorrow. I don't know.
That's so good.
Like, you may become, like, you may be the reason why, you know, I make my first million. I don't know.
That's so
I
want good.
To speak life onto you.
That's so good.
Same, they both came from the same environment, two completely different mindsets, to where it's like you have one person that's just like, well, if I ain't never seen this, it's never gonna happen.
Absolutely.
Another person is like, it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's either gonna happen or it's gonna happen. That's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
That's it, yep.
So it's like, you know, once again, it's about having that perspective and that mindset from where you come from. And another thing too, because this is very good, there was a story I read back when you were working at Sprint. Mm-hmm. Where you were consistently a top sales rep. You had one of your sales managers there, a gentleman by the name of Antoine, mm-hmm. Antoine Joyner.
Yeah.
There was a point in time in your journey where you were like beating everyone out for the award, and he had pulled you aside and he gave you some life-changing advice, and where he had told you like, hey, it's cool that you're beating everyone else, but can you beat yourself and mm-hmm. top your own numbers every single month?
Yep.
And I thought that was super powerful, because when we talk about proximity, for me, it's just like, whether you're the top of the industry or the bottom of your industry, the only true competition you have at the end of the day is just being a better you today than you were yesterday.
Yeah.
For people who are listening, how do we get into that mindset? Because it's like, we create, there are people, why, even myself sometimes, I'm guilty. We create all these fake competitions at time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, I'm going against this person. And they don't even know you exist. Mm-hmm. And like you said, somebody might be competing with a Dion. They don't got 14, 16 years in this. But mm-hmm. in their mind, that's what they have to do to psych themselves up. What does that mindset shift have to look like to get to a point where it's like, it's really me versus me. It's not me versus the neighborhood I came from. It's not me versus this, this dude I follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's me versus me.
Yeah. Well, first of all, shout out to my brother Antoine Joyner, because him challenging me like that really truly changed my life, because I thought I was doing something. And he was like, I need you to beat what you did last month every single month. Like, he was my first manager who actually challenged me to get better myself.
Yeah.
He was like, it looked like what you're doing is easy. He's like, and so they're not your competition. You're your own competition. He said, I need you every single month. I need you to get better.
Yeah.
He said, I need you to get better. He said, and then at the end of that month, I need you to tell me, like, what did you do to get better? Like, what's up? We're going to talk. And so that was his way of, you know, having one-on-one conversations with me, because as managers, that's what, like, we had to have one-on-ones. And so I wasn't quite a manager yet, and he was my manager at the time. And so I was like, damn, that's pretty dope. That's cool. And so I think it's just a concept of you having to, like, again, this is just a mature version of me saying this now that I look back on it, is we got to get back to loving ourselves. Mm. Like, I don't think that we respect and we love ourselves enough to challenge ourselves to get better. So what we do is we try to find somebody that we feel like we want to get better than, and we want to, let's just say, take them down or do better than them. When it's like, bro, you need to do better for yourself first. Mm-hmm. Like, love you before you try to go out there and challenge somebody else. And this is how we fall short. Like you said, people are spending time trying to compete where they don't compare. Like, why look at me and try to go after me? And again, ain't nothing wrong with it. I love friendly competition. But again, if you don't have 16 years of experience, or at least 8 years of full-time entrepreneurship experience, it's going to be hard for you to try to go after me and take me down. Mm-hmm. The best thing that you could do is pay me to coach you to figure out how to take me down. Get all of my strategies, get all of my secrets. And then at some point in time, either we're going to be peers, or the student is going to, or the teacher is going to become the student, or the student is going to become the teacher. And that's okay too. Like, I'm okay with that. But we also got to be respectful of what's called the law of the lid. Where if a person is teaching you and coaching you something, 9 times out of 10, you're only going to be able to make as much money as they're making. Yeah. Now, what I make ain't bad. So that's cool.
You do pretty well.
You know what I'm saying? That this is your goal, this you want to make, then cool. But right. It'll be hard for me to tell somebody, okay, here, this is how you make 9 figures. I haven't made that yet, so I can't. Yeah. It hasn't made 10 figures. Now, here's what's crazy. And I got this documented. This on record as well. I had a gentleman just this past weekend. I had an in-person event. And I'm going to post this on my page probably the next few days. He said that I helped take his business from 8 figures to 9 figures. And I'm not even making 9 figures.
That's crazy.
He was like, just being connected with him and talking to him and having conversations and him being a part of my network and me being able to change my business based upon including him in my business. He was like, Deion has taken my business from 8 figures to 9 figures. And I'm like, I didn't know that until he publicly said it.
Mm.
So it's like, again, the impact is in that person and the environment that they give you. Because I want to tell this to people too. Just because you pay a coach, you're not really paying. Like, the benefit and the value is not necessarily the coach itself. All the, like, you're going to get information from that person, yes. But the environment is what you really need. You need to be around the people that have paid a premium price to be in the room with you, and y'all network and y'all collaborate together, because that is the value that I found in paying coaches and mentors. Because now I'm in a room with people that I can collaborate with that want to win at the same level that I want to win at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a challenge in itself. I love it.
For where you are now, are you personally still investing in mentorship and masterminds and coaching?
Absolutely. You want to know why?
Talk to me.
Because the moment that you stop learning is the moment that you stop earning. Mm. And the more you can learn, the more you can earn. And I also understand that if I want to continue to earn every day, I have to continue to learn every day. So why not? My mentor is Myron Golden. He's $150,000 a year. The room is amazing.
How much is it?
$150,000 a year.
Just not one time, but like, you have to pay $150,000 to be
so, in. And then you risk not being able to get in there, because he has, like, he only coaches a certain amount of people. So then if you drop off and he fills that spot, your spot is gone.
Done off. Can't come back.
Yep. I mean, Russell Brunson, he runs his business the same way. Like, he has a certain amount of people. Now, Russell is even stricter, where he say, if you stop paying, mm-hmm. you can never get back in.
Mm.
You can't get back in. You can't get back in.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's going to be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be providing you 2 coaching calls a week where we're going to teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Being in a $150,000 room, what are you learning in those kind of rooms that you weren't learning in, let's say, a $15K, a $25K, a $35K room? What's the conversations like in those kind of rooms?
You're learning how to think your way into wealth. You're learning that a bottle of water and a Mercedes Benz is the same price.
A bottle of water and a Mercedes Benz is the same. Explain that.
Or even a bottle of water and a Lamborghini is the same price.
Okay.
Well, if a bottle of water is, let's just call it $2-3, mm-hmm. but a Lamborghini is maybe $200,000-$300,000, it's the same, because if I come up with an idea that's good enough, then it will pay for the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. So there's no work involved. When we think about a person that's working a 9-to-5, they will equate, they'll say, okay, well, I make $20 an hour. If I spend $2 on this water, yeah, that's a tenth of my day.
Yeah.
And then they also say, well, how many hours would I have to work to be able to buy a Lamborghini? I'll probably be dead by the time I can afford that. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? That's the difference. So when you get in these high-level rooms, you are using your mind in order to create more wealth for yourself. And that's how true wealth is made. And that's how you can collapse time and you can make money in a short period of time versus money over a long period of time, because you're thinking of ways to grow and make more money and become wealthy. So that's what those higher level rooms get you. Because in lower level rooms, because they haven't been taught that, they don't know that, they'd be like, well, you got to do this and you got to do that in order to make more money. Well, if it worked for you, why don't you just do 10 times the effort to make 10 times the money? That ain't how money works. Mm-hmm. That's not how money works. But again, that's just the way we were raised. That's the concept. That's what we were taught. So, you know, I understand.
Dion Coopwood, we came here to talk about credit. and we just said, fuck all that. I don't even curse on the podcast. We just said, fuck all that. Let's just talk mindset.
I will guarantee you that the comments will be like, yo, this is one of the best episodes that I've ever watched. It's going to cause the shift in the mindset, which is going to cause a shift in the financial mindset and the financial pocket of the people that are watching this episode. We are talking about credit. Make no mistake, we're talking about credit, because I don't sit here unless credit is involved. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about credit. You thought we wasn't talking about credit. We talking about credit.
How are we talking about credit?
Because my entire journey and everything that I've been doing, the foundation of it is credit. So credit allowed me this opportunity to sit with you and allowed me to generate the wealth that I have made and allow me to have the impact that I have had. So we're really talking about credit. They may have missed it, but we're talking about credit. Mm. Somebody drop "I love credit" in the comments.
Listen, brother, I know we brought you on. I know you have something coming up. I don't know if you still want to talk about it or not.
It's up to you. It don't matter.
Yeah. I know you have your... This was such a powerful conversation, dog. And, you know, like I said, we talked about it off camera, but it's like, this is really what the people need. Because somebody thinks that they're, and I joked about it in the middle of the podcast, somebody thinks that they need another play, and it's like, you don't need another play. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a shift that has to happen for you to get to that next level.
Because here's the truth, bro.
Talk to me.
Let me give you your flowers. You have done an amazing job of bringing qualified guests on your podcast, because you vet people crazy to the T.
Yeah.
They've given every play possible.
Yeah.
And it's people still watching these episodes, and they ain't ran the plays from the last 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. So that means that this is the episode where they have a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. In order to go back and rewatch those episodes or look at the notes that they taken and said, oh, I'm about to run these plays now. This is the one. Mm-hmm. This is the one that takes your podcast and the execution of the people that are watching it to that next level. This is the one right here. This is the one.
Listen,
Mr. One.
Your words to God's ears. I'm looking forward to it, my brother. Listen, We brought you back on here. Once again, I know you have a challenge coming up. I will, of course, want to give you a chance to talk about that. And then also let the people know where they can connect with you at as well, because there may be a large group of people that are watching you on here and is like, okay, this brother's different. I need to go ahead and get in contact with him. Talk about the challenge, and then, of course, talk about how people can get in contact with you.
Yeah. Well, for anybody watching this episode right now, I am doing a five-day challenge where I'm going to show you how to, man, we're going to do a lot. I'm going to show you how to, with good or bad credit, how to go to, specific lenders and get over $100,000 in capital to either start, grow, or scale a business. I'm going to show you how to leverage Metro 2 compliance to not only increase your credit score 100 plus points, but put you in a position where you can make $100,000 or more on a part-time basis, not working full-time and still keeping your job, leveraging a Metro 2 compliance software. And I'm also going to show you how to make over $100,000, whether it be 6 months or within a year, what you choose or you decide. Passively, we're talking about most people only make money on their feet. I'm gonna try to make some money in your sleep. So that's what we're gonna do in this 5-day challenge. I got other concepts and other things that I'm gonna teach you, but that is the foundational principles that we're gonna be talking about over those 5 days. And so if anybody wants to spend those 5 days with me, they can text Marvin,
there you go.
That man's name, Marvin, to 855-487-5117. And so I'm going to spend 5 days with you. What I'm doing something super special for your people too.
Talk to
I'm going to get them 50% off their tickets. So the cheapest ticket that you can get spend 5 days with me is $37. So we ain't talking about $10 a day, man. We talking about just, let me get to Starbucks. Let me get your Starbucks for 5 days. But I guarantee you after these 5 days, you're going to be able to go buy a Starbucks.
Come on now.
That's how heavy we're going to talk. That's how much you're going to impact the people. And I'll be totally transparent. At the end of these 5 days, I'm going to be picking some people that's going to work with me. I want to help some people that is believing themselves enough to come spend 5 days, get in the room every single day, and somebody who say, Deion, I want you to be my coach. I want you to be my mentor. I'm going to be picking some people that's going to work with me. Well, I'm going to create some millionaires off this Marvin Francois show.
Come on now.
Sure.
Listen.
For sure.
It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when.
For sure.
And it's not going to be coincidence when it happens. Mm-hmm. It's going to be confirmation.
Talk to him.
Listen, my brother Deion Coopwood, thank you for coming on here.
Absolutely, bro.
And having a much needed conversation with me here today.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody who's watching at home, I know you all received some value. And if you haven't already, take a second, take a minute, take an hour to go ahead, hit the like button, show this episode some love. Make sure you get tapped in with Deion's challenge. Text the number he provided or the link will be in the description below of this video. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Marvin Francois. That's my guy, Deion Coopwood. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you. And God bless. Peace, family.